Taylor McPherson filling in for Evan Bray on this Monday afternoon. Hope your week is off to a great start. Okay, it's the most cliched thing in the world, but ever since I saw Jurassic Park when I was a little kid, I've just been straight up obsessed with dinosaurs, and I will jump at the chance to cover any story related to dinosaurs. You'd be amazed at how often that comes up in news. I think I'm at three this year in my normal role as news editor in terms of dinosaur stories that I've either moved or had a hand in writing. But I love especially the ones that come to us right from Saskatchewan. We have quite a bit of paleontology and research work going on around dinosaurs here that might surprise you in some cases. And this is a very cool one that relates to probably the most famous dinosaur fossil out of Saskatchewan. I speak of none other than Scotty the T-Rex, the world's largest Tyrannosaurus Rex that has ever been found, discovered, of course, right here in this province. And scientists have taken a closer look at one of the bones in that fossilized skeleton of Scotty, particularly a rib bone, and made a very cool discovery along the way. So using the advanced imaging available to them through the Canadian light source synchrotron based in Saskatoon, researchers were able to examine the rib bone in really stupendous detail, and they found some evidence of preserved blood vessels, pretty rare, as well as signs that Scotty might have actually healed from a serious injury millions of years ago. And this, of course, could shed some new light on the way that dinosaurs' bodies worked. Joining us now is Jarrett Mitchell, a PhD student from the University of Regina, who led this really, really cool research. Jarrett, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hello. Yeah, welcome. Thank you for having me on the show.
Of course. How did you get involved in this project and this kind of work in general? You're a physics PhD student, right?
Yeah, it's a little bit strange. The project started nearly 6 years ago. I was in my fourth year of my undergraduate degree in physics, and one of my physics professor was doing this kind of side project using the Canadian light source to do paleontology research. So I joined at that point. And during that period, that's actually when I first discovered the blood vessels inside Scotty, and then it kind of continued on from now. And now I'm still on my PhD working on similar paleontology products.
Very cool. So how did you end up discovering these blood vessels, and how did they kind of elude researchers prior to this?
What we were using was the Canadian light source, which basically produces facility in Saskatoon, like you mentioned, and it produces really high-intensity x-rays. But we need these extremely intense x-rays in order to are able to image the bone. So what we want to do initially to look for these kind of vessel structures is do like an X-ray or X-ray scan or like a CT scan. So something similar to what you would have in like a medical office. This is basically just a much more advanced, intense version of a medical CT or a medical X-ray. So using that, we're able to look deep inside the bone, look inside and examine the microstructures within the bone, and able to determine find the discovery.
Jarrett Mitchell is with us, PhD student, Department of Physics at the University of Regina, my own alma mater, made some interesting discoveries taking a close look at one of the rib bones of Scotty the T-Rex. I've got to ask, Jarrett, what goes into handling and transporting these bones? I mean, they're certainly rare and precious to have. What kind of things do you have to think about when you're, you know, moving a bone in and out of the synchrotron where it's being imaged?
You have to be fairly careful. They are, again, millions and millions of years old. They are kind of fragile, but in some ways we kind of sort of can glue them back together. So once the bones actually get dug out of the ground and we take them to the museum, they usually get kind of use a special type of glue in order to glue all the pieces back together. It's not when they come out of the ground, it's not so nice, but we can kind of keep everything together. I actually had some issues before when I took some bones to Europe and I had a large bone snap in half during the shipping process, which ended up being a little bit of a problem. But so they can be fragile, but like I said, they can be glued back together. So it's okay on that front.
There's no problem that can't be fixed with enough glue, is there? So you were able to discover these preserved blood vessels in Scotty's rib. What does that kind of lead you to in terms of research? What sort of conclusions were you able to draw, and where does this lead the project next?
So yeah, we're looking at what we can examine for the healing potential of T-Rex such as Scotty. So this isn't really very common and able to see these preserved. So the vessels were mineralized and having them preserved. And now that we have kind of a basically a 3D model of these vessel structures, what we want to do in kind of future studies is then compare it to look for these same sort of vessels in other dinosaurs, because we want to look at different bones from other T-Rex or other dinosaurs and compare the structures, see if they're similar or different. And another thing we could do is then compare to modern relatives to the dinosaurs, such as chickens, for example, and see what the differences is in the structures. And this can possibly tell us about the differences in healing potential, the evolution of healing potential over billions of years.
So Scotty had an injury at some point. Was it like a broken rib? Do we know the extent of the injury or even what might have potentially caused it?
Yes. Scotty had a broken rib. Actually, Scotty featured many, many different types of injuries, a few fractures along many of his bones. The bone I've been looking at for this study is actually very critical to finding these blood vessels is this fracture. So this fracture from this rib bone, it was, we believe, is partially healed, and we saw that more from our results. And we believe the blood vessels that we did find are related to the fracture. So in the bone healing process, there's usually a large increase of blood vessels in order to heal an injury, like after a fracture or some sort of other trauma to the bone. This large increase in blood vessels was used to heal the bone. So we think this is exactly what we are able to find in Scotty's rib. This relates to why we tell about the healing potential of T-Rex.
Very, very cool. It's amazing how much you can discover from, you know, just taking a really, really close look at something as simple as a fossilized rib bone. Well, I say something as simple belonged to obviously a gigantic predatory dinosaur millions of years ago. Scotty's a pretty famous dinosaur in Saskatchewan. What's it been like kind of working with such a legendary piece of Saskatchewan history?
Oh, it's been great. Again, it's been nice that all my research can be done. Again, I'm from, we do our research at the Canadian Life Source in Saskatoon. Our fossils we can find in Saskatchewan. Scotty was found near East End Saskatchewan in the 1990s. And now we've been able to, like, basically since the Scotty site was excavated in the 1990s, just now in the last decade or so, finally, the research has kind of caught up and starting to look at Scotty's bones and realizing there's a whole lot of more information we can pull out.
Jarrett Mitchell with us.
Just waiting to be uncovered.
Jarrett Mitchell, PhD student at the University of Regina's Physics Department, lead author of this study that took a really close look at the rib of Scotty the T-Rex. Jarrett, do you think this is going to prompt, you know, paleontologists around the world to really want to re-examine some of the bones that may not be actively researched as much? Do you think there's going to be a lineup of paleontologists trying to take their dinosaur bones into every synchrotron around the world looking to see what they can find?
I believe myself for sure that use of synchrotron light for sure can be a huge, huge advantage for paleontology research. And I think it's, yes, slowly being used more and more, and it's becoming more and more really exciting discoveries are coming out. So, and I'm hoping that part of the conclusion of my paper is that I was hoping that we'd be more interested in samples that had pathologies, so pathologies like a fracture or a disease or something that happened to this bone, and we think this might relate to help us find even more soft tissues preserved inside the bone, such as blood vessels.
That's very, very cool research. Now, I mentioned right off the top that I'm a gigantic dinosaur nerd, and I know that I'm not the only one out there. They're still making those Jurassic World movies, but you kind of fell backwards into the paleontology side of things coming from a physics angle. Have you become now kind of a newly minted dinosaur nerd?
Oh yeah. I'm all paleontology all the time now.
That's fantastic.
Kind of a weird where, yeah, started through physics and now, getting to this project, keeps me really interested because it's very, very, paleontology in general is very multidisciplinary. So I've had to learn a lot of chemistry, a lot of biology, a lot of geology, geography, like in the process. So it really keeps me, and I still be able to make use of my physics background and using the Canadian Light Source and their facilities. So it keeps me busy, keeps me interested, and there's a lot more I can continue on with my research.
Well, it's a fascinating field, and I'm kind of envious that you get to work in it. Do you have any other cool stories about working with old fossils or bones other than Scotty, or any plans for that going forward?
Yeah, we have. I told you kind of our general plans. We want to look at other bones with pathologies or fractures and see if we find similar vessel structures. Another new thing I've also been working on over the last year is getting into testing neutron imaging of large genisser bones, which has never really been attempted before.
What's neutron imaging?
Neutron imaging, yes.
What is it?
It's actually very similar concept to the Canadian Light Source. So the Canadian Light Source, for example, produces these high-intensity X-rays. But there's also these various facilities around the world that produce neutrons, an intense beam of neutrons. And we can, instead of similar to do like a X-ray CT, or we do like a 3D scan of our bone, we can use neutrons instead. The main reason is that neutrons basically are sensitive to different parts of different elements in the bone differently than X-rays. So when we do both an X-ray scan and a neutron scan, they're kind of complementary techniques, so they can tell us even more information about their sample. So that's kind of the taste of some of the new stuff I've been testing in my research.
Very, very cool. Jarrett Mitchell is with us. He was the lead author of this study that took a very close look at Scotty's ribs, Scotty the T-Rex, that is, found some blood vessels, and it's leading them into some very cool research directions. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to join us, Jarrett. You've made the dinosaur nerd inside me very, very happy, and I hope you'll come back and join us again as your research continues in this field.
Oh, yeah, it's not a problem having me on. I'm glad I can share my research with everyone.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for taking the time. That's Jarrett Mitchell, PhD student at the University of Regina. I am so envious that he gets to work with dinosaurs all day. That sounds just so cool, even though, well, I know a lot of the scientific research can border on the tedious sometimes, but man, what a fascinating field. I could just read about Tyrannosauruses all day. Taylor McPherson filling in for Evan Bray. A few minutes left in the show, but don't go anywhere. We're back with more next on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Taylor McPherson sitting in for Evan Bray on this Monday afternoon. Yeah, we covered a whole lot of ground today, didn't we? We got her done on the show. Scott Maxwell joined us to kick things off from Wounded Warriors Canada. They've got an event happening tonight in Saskatoon, working to support all the people who work in trauma-exposed professions, is the term that they use. Essentially means military, first responders, a couple of other professions as well. They do some great work over there. Then at 9, we heard from Paul Martin, Saskatchewan business commentator, on some of those trade deals and the future of trade agreements, not only between Canada and the U.S., but within Canada as well. James Bogus, Regina Airport CEO, was here talking a little bit about the foreign investment in Canadian airlines and potentially even allowing foreign carriers to operate here in Canada. Then we heard from Donna Ziegler with the South Saskatchewan Community Foundation. They've got an event happening in Regina in August you should be part of. We also heard from Tal Marsolet with Sexual Assault Services of Saskatchewan, and Jarrett Mitchell, finally, at the University of Regina. Huge thank you to the team that puts on this show. Libby Gray, our executive producer, pulling together all the great content. Adam Gruel, our tech producer, making it all sound good. Dallas Dole, Murray Wood in programming. Thank you so much for the opportunity. I'm Taylor McPherson. Thanks so much for listening. I really had fun hanging out with you. Let's do it again soon. This is 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.